Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Can Aston Villa make it six in a row in the league? Could Chelsea drop to mid-table?
Chelsea beaten in Bergamo.
And is time almost up for Xabi Alonso?
Real Madrid have fallen apart in injury time.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast, No Faff. This is your ultimate weekend preview. So let's go Route 1 in association with Fitstairs. So, with apologies to those in the northeast, I think the game of the weekend is on Sunday afternoon. It's West Ham scrapping for survival as their new manager bounce dissipates against Aston Villa, who I think we now have to call title contenders, which is quite something really, because they didn't win their first league game until September 28th. They didn't score their first league goal until September 21st. And around about that time, you may recall us speaking to Sam Tai from ESPN and saying, Villa in trouble here. Well, Sam, you assured us they were not in trouble and everything would sort itself out. That's exactly what happened. And so I put it to you, sir, are Aston Villa genuine title contenders?
Look, I had to pump the brakes on the Villa are in serious trouble chat, and now it is my solemn duty to pump the brakes on the Villa are in the title race talk too. And that's not me trying to sound negative, I'm just trying to be a bit more realistic. Because a title challenge, and by that I mean 80-odd points while playing what is presumably a deep Europa League campaign too, is a wild expectation to place on this squad at this stage. They have immense quality, yes, but they lack depth required to tussle with the likes of Arsenal and Man City all the way to the end. The conversation around this Villa team and their aspirations should be around a top five finish in the Premier League and a potential Europa League win. Either of those would secure Champions League football, and either of those would be an immense achievement. But enough with the relentless realism, let's dish out some credit where it's due here. Villa have recovered from a horrific start. And while some people were looking at some pretty sketchy-looking underlying numbers and suggesting that they were soon to fall off, the last five performances have been excellent from a creative and goal-scoring perspective. Morgan Rodgers has gone from playing the worst football of his senior professional career to the best. Matty Cash has never looked better. Yuri Tielemans' return from injury has breathed life into the midfield, and Boubacar Camara is always great. He is one of the most underrated players in the league. It feels like this Villa team are now truly clicking into gear. And despite that taking quite a long time, they've already got 30 points on the board. What a position to be in.
Well, West Ham are a funny lot, though. They won back-to-back games at the start of November, beating Newcastle and Burnley, but they haven't won since, and they're still in the drop zone. And they're also about to lose their fullbacks, Malik Diouf and Aaron Wan-Bissaka, to the African Nations Cup. So given that they've got Man City away next weekend, this is a huge game for them. But if you're watching that, it means you won't be able to watch the big one in the northeast, Sunderland versus Newcastle. And who would have predicted that Sunderland would be the higher up the table? Not that much higher up the table, though, because Regis Labrie's side have only won once in their last six. And if you think West Ham have issues with AFCON, check out Sunderland. They lose half their team. Noah Siddiqui, their midfield dynamo, Ronaldo, their flying left-back, Bertrand Traore, who I've never really been a huge fan of, but he's been in sparkling form of late, plus Shemsdeen Taube, Habib Diarra, Arthur Masuaku. And here's an interesting thing. Sunderland are still out at 12-1 for relegation. Now, personally, I don't fancy that. I think they'll be okay. But stranger things have happened. If you do fancy that and you're over 18, check out fitzdares.com for more odds just like it. There are just two Saturday threes this weekend. Chelsea-Everton will be an interesting one. Enzo Maresca's side are now four games without a win after their defeat to Atalanta in midweek. They're rotating hard to try to cope with the fatigue of an extremely long campaign, and they face an Everton team that briefly sneaked into fifth place last weekend and have kept four clean sheets in their last five games. Or defeat would almost certainly see Chelsea drop to mid-table, where they might join Liverpool. Unless Liverpool drop even further this weekend. But I don't think they will. They host Brighton, and they have a nice fuzzy afterglow about them right now, Liverpool. They beat Inter in the San Siro while Mo Salah was back in the club gym taking lonely selfies, and they're on a four-match unbeaten streak. They look more solid now, less vulnerable down the flanks. Something that Brighton's precocious child manager Fabian Hertzler will have noticed with a rueful smile. But the Seagulls are a good side. They keep the ball very well, and they have the people's favourite evergreen striker Danny Welbeck up top. This could be a tight one. At 5:30, we have Burnley against Fulham, and I have to say, if Burnley don't win this, all hope really will evaporate. They have lost their last six games. They're shipping two goals a match. They have the lowest XG in the league, just 12. It's all pretty bleak up there. Fulham are hard to read. They've lost their last two, and they've been struggling to make good chances of late, but do you even need good chances when Harry Wilsonio can conjure up goals out of nothing? In the accursed Saturday night 8pm slot, we have the toppest top versus the bottomest bottom clash of all time. Has anything ever happened that would be as strange as Arsenal losing to Wolves this weekend? Like ever, in any walk of life. Rob Edwards' side are desperate. They're visibly broken. There's no confidence left in them. And they head to the Emirates to face the title favourites, who are in a really bad mood after losing to Villa last weekend. Wolves are 20-1 to win this. I think those are the longest odds I've ever seen for a Premier League match. Good luck, lads. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I saw Manchester City at 7-1 for the title in August, and I threw a fiver at it because the last time I saw Manchester City at 7-1 or longer, I think Stuart Pearce was the manager. Well, this Sunday, we'll get a real sense of their credentials. They're in great form. Their midweek win in Madrid was their fourth in a row. They're scoring freely, but they do have to go away to Palace on Sunday. Only Arsenal have conceded fewer than Palace this season, and in Jean-Philippe Mateta, they have a striker as capable of scoring worldies as he is of putting absolute sitters into the stands. He has a personal XG of 9.9 this season. That's nearly as many as Burnley. But he's second only to Everton's Beto when it comes to the old underperformance on the G-XG, which is to say, he scores a lot, he should score a lot more. What can he do to Manchester City? The last of the Sunday twos is Nottingham Forest against Tottenham, and are Tottenham turning their season around? Their entirely undeserved point against Newcastle was followed by a solid 2-0 win over Brentford and a 3-0 win over Slavia Prague, a team whose fans, we learned this week, are scared of rainbows, bless their little hearts. Well, Forest will be a different matter. Sean Dyche has them playing with purpose now, even though that 3-0 defeat to Everton was a bit of a concern. If Spurs can win this, I think it buys Thomas Frank a January transfer window. Now, the weekend wraps up with the interesting choice of Brentford versus Leeds at 4:30. And I did not think that Leeds boss Daniel Farke would pick up enough points from recent fixtures to buy him his seat in the dugout for this one. But that half-time switch to a back three seems to have made all the difference. Leeds fought back against City. They beat Chelsea. They snatched a point against Liverpool. They've made more than 1.5 XG in each of their last four games. But God, wouldn't it be so typical to do all of that and then crumble to a Brentford side that have lost four of their last six? Will Xabi Alonso be the Real Madrid manager by the time they kick off at Alaves on Sunday night? At the time of recording this, he was. I guarantee he won't be for much longer if they lose this one. They could be down to third place by kickoff too, because Villarreal go to bottomside Levante, and just a point will lift them into second. Barcelona's heavy defeat to Chelsea is looking increasingly out of character. Hansi Flick's side have won four in a row since that dark night, and they've opened up a four-point lead at the top. They play struggling Osasuna. I'm sure they're going to be fine. Atletico Madrid desperately need to get their La Liga campaign back on track, though. They've lost two on the spin, but they did win away in Eindhoven in midweek, and they have got perpetual crisis club Valencia at home on Saturday, so you'd think they'd be okay, wouldn't you? Bayern Munich are 8 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga, and I can't see that gap reducing this weekend because they have rock-bottom Mainz at home. If you're a fan of Soccerbase, the website I use to quickly get a sense of teams' form, Bayern's page is quite something. It's just a block of green Ws punctuated only twice, once by Arsenal and once by Union Berlin, who held them to a draw a month ago. Now, that must have been annoying for Bayern, but Union have the chance to make it up to Vincent Kompany & Co. They play second place RB Leipzig on Friday, and they could help Bayern extend their lead still further. Other non-title contenders Leverkusen have Cologne on Saturday evening, while Dortmund are away at Freiburg on Sunday. If you want top-of-the-table Italian action, then you will have to wait until Sunday, because that's when all the good games are on. Leaders Milan play at 11:30 at home to Sassuolo, but they're only the leaders by virtue of one conceded goal fewer. Napoli are right up there with them after their victory over Juventus last Sunday. They go to mid-table Udinese at 2, but they did lose to Jose Mourinho's Benfica in midweek, which was a bit of a shocker. Inter, still furious about that penalty against Liverpool, they are away at Genoa at 5, and the big Sunday night game is 5th-placed Bologna against 7th-placed Juventus, but the old lady may not even be 7th by then, as she could be overtaken by Sassuolo and or Jamie Vardy's Cremonese. And how is Jamie Vardy doing? He's doing quite well, actually. He's made 8 starts and scored 4 goals. Not bad for a man who will be 39 in exactly 1 month. And in France, Paris Saint-Germain can reclaim top spot in Ligue 1 on Saturday night if they prevail away at Metz. But Lens could be back above them by Sunday evening. They host Nice. Barking mad Marseille and Lille are in the chasing pack. Marseille face Monaco on Sunday. Monaco are down in 7th. Weirdly, they've only won one of their last 5 games. And that was against PSG. Lille, for their part, they're away at Auxerre. It's a curious weekend of Scottish football in that the Old Firm won't be taking part. Celtic have the League Cup final against St Mirren, which now looks like a battleship-sized banana skin for new manager Wilfried Nancy. That's on Sunday. Rangers, who have risen to 4th, play Hibs on Monday. So it's a chance for surprise leaders' hearts to extend their lead at the top to 6 points on Saturday, albeit with the knowledge that Celtic have 2 games in hand. Third place Motherwell are away at Dundee United. In the Championship, runaway leaders Coventry are now just walkaway leaders because they've gone 2 games without a win. Their 10-point gap has been cut to 5 because Middlesbrough keep winning. Rob who? Absolutely. Borough have QPR at home. Coventry have Bristol City at home. Championship's good fun this weekend. It starts tonight with West Bromwich Albion against Sheffield United. And my goodness me, Ryan Mason needs a win here or he could be finished. The Baggies started so well, but they plunged to 16th. And this is not an ideal time to play a resurgent Sheffield United. If you need a 12:30 game, you could do worse than pick Norwich Southampton. The Saints are banging on the door of the playoffs now after a miserable start under Will Still. Norwich, 23rd in the table, are still very much in their miserable start. That's all of the football for the weekend. If you're looking for football-adjacent pastimes, our book of the week this week, finally, is Rise of the Villains by Guillaume Balague, and it's a whopping great read that does sort of feel like it was launched with the wrong title. Rise of the Emery might be a more accurate title, given the detail with which it charts the life of the Villa manager, from his upbringing in the Basque Country to his present position, dragging Aston Villa into their first sort of title race since that time John Gregory had them top in the 90s. Now, first we have to discuss the Balague Accord. Now, this is the agreement each reader must make with themselves in order to finish the book. Balague is hugely respected, connected, charming, and he writes better in his second language than I do in my first. But he does really love his subjects to the extent that they are often presented with almost no flaws and frequently with their failures, either dressed up as low-key successes or blamed on the failings of others. He's very much the anti-Tom Bower, if you like your biographies. And if you do like a properly vitriolic biography, try Tom's Bernie Eccleston one. It's really good. This is not vitriolic at all, but if you can get past the abundance of affection, it's worth it. Emery's backstory is intricately researched, Balague has no lack of access here, and when it finally begins, the story of the Aston Villa rebuild is comprehensive and fascinating. When it comes to inside access at a top Premier League club, I think this is the best I've read in a very long time. There's so much detail on tactics, player development. It's a really excellent book. But yeah, if Emery shot a kitten, I'm pretty sure that Guillaume would claim the kitten fired first. It's called Rise of the Villains. It's by Guillaume Balague. It's out on Seven Dials, and it is our book of the week. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, No Faff, and it's here twice a week, Monday morning and Friday morning. If you like it, follow it. If you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We'll be back on Monday with the great big roundup. See you then.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.